Welcome back, everybody. Neil Bortz Radio Show, 877-310-2100. That's the number on the line right now from, I am assuming, Washington, D.C., Dick Cheney, Vice President of the United States. Mr. Vice President, a good day to you, sir. How are you?
Well, good morning to you, Neil.
And wanted to talk to you a bit, if we could, about the Social Security reform. I have to say, in the face of what looks like overwhelming opposition, you have to admire the Bush administration for saying, doggone it, this is right, we're going to press it, and we're going to get out there, go on the road, and we're going to get this done somehow.
Well, that's exactly right. The president feels very strongly about it. We all do. The fact of the matter is Social Security is a great program. It's been a great program. It's been vital for my parents and a lot of other folks out there live on it today and depend on it. The problem we have is that for future generations looking down the road, the program has not been funded in effect. We've made promises out there that the present system simply can't support down the road. So we think it's time to reform it. We think it's important to have that debate now. We think it's important that we get the American people to focus on this and the Congress, and that we come up with some answers.
Well, I was looking at some Gallup poll figures this morning. I cannot understand this. The greatest opposition to the private accounts comes from a group of people that aren't in any way going to be affected by that. And these are the people that have largely already reached Social Security retirement age. The administration has gone out of its way to show them that their benefits will not be affected in any way whatsoever. Why then, Mr. Vice President, why are they so adamantly opposed to the private accounts for their, in some cases, their children, in most cases, their grandchildren?
Well, I think part of it is they don't understand. I think part of it is fear of change. I think to some extent they've been sold a bill of goods over the years and the notion that somehow Social Security, they've been paying in and there's a big pot of money out there that's what they paid in while they were working, and now government's just going to pay it back out. And, of course, the facts are that there's no pot of money there at all. They've been paying in over their working lives, but what was paid in was paid out immediately to the folks who were drawing benefits years ago.
Or spent on various vote-buying programs.
Spent on other programs, exactly. So there's a big file drawer full of IOUs, but there's no pool of cash there. And so that's why we get into the situation, as you point out, Neil, very correctly. The program we're talking about specifically would not affect anybody who was born prior to 1950. That somebody who is now 55 or older basically won't see any change at all. They're not eligible for the personal accounts. They're going to get the benefits that they've been promised, and those that are already retired. So this has no impact on them. But if you talk to their grandkids, folks in their 20s and 30s now working, they don't believe there's going to be anything there for them in Social Security. And the facts of the matter are there won't be much unless we make some changes in the program. And that's why we think we need to have this debate. Everybody needs to remember that this program was set up back in the 30s when the world looked very different. Our economy was radically different. The majority of Americans didn't even live to retirement age back in the 30s, and that's all changed dramatically now.
And it wasn't the intent. It was not sold to the people in the 1930s as a program that we're going to tax you. Whatever we need to pay you benefits, we'll pay, and then we're going to spend the rest of the money on other government programs. It was never sold that way.
That's correct.
Now, I've told my listeners for years that the great Social Security Trust Fund is nothing but IOUs in a folder in a gray filing cabinet in West Virginia. They think I'm lying to them. Maybe if the Vice President of the United States backs me up, I'll have some credibility.
No, you're absolutely right. It is IOUs. We've kept track, obviously, of what's been paid in. But those funds were used either to finance benefits at the time or, as you point out, devoted to other programs to finance the federal government. So today, say what we have is a big pile of IOUs, but there's not a big pile of cash out there waiting to be repaid to folks once they retire.
Is the president determined not to make increases in the Social Security tax a part of a reform program?
He is. We believe very deeply that we should not increase the payroll tax rate. You've got to remember, when the program started back in the 30s, well, really first made payments in about 1940, the effective tax rate on a worker was a 1%. And the employer paid 1%, and that was capped at a very low level of total income. It's now risen to the point where it's 12.4% on the first $90,000 of income. In other words, this has become, for a great many Americans, this is the biggest tax they pay, bigger even than their federal income tax. And if we continue to simply increase the payroll tax rate, for example, we're going to get to the point here where we'll do serious damage to the economy. We'll make it difficult for small businesses, for example, to hire people. And that extra marginal cost of hiring somebody means we won't create as many jobs.
But so. you speak of increasing the payroll tax rate, but another way to really increase Social Security taxes is to expand the wage base, now around $90,000.
That's correct.
To what extent will the administration approve expanding the tax base, which, for me, that's a tax increase?
Right. Well, the way the program works at present, there is about a $300 a year increase in that base. It's already in the law. It's been steadily and gradually going up over the years. Some have suggested that there should be a big jump in the rate. We haven't taken a position, not a jump in the rate, but a jump in the cap.
In the base, the cap,
yes. 90,000 up to 120,000 or some similar figure. There's a plan out there now to do that. We have not endorsed any of those plans. What we've said is, look, put all the ideas on the table. Let's get the debate started. Let's have people understand what the problem is, and then we ought to look at all the various and sundry possibilities out there as we go forward. But one of the things we think ought to be part of the solution are personal retirement accounts. But we do want a wide open debate. We haven't discouraged members from putting together any kind of suggestion they want. Lindsey Graham, a senator from South Carolina, has got some ideas. Chuck Hagel from Nebraska just introduced a bill this week. So there's a lot of ideas, and we think we ought to have a big debate and look at all the options.
Well, Mr. Vice President, time runs out too quick. I hope we can get you back on the air to talk about this. Before I let you go, though, I want to give you four words of encouragement on something else.
Mm-hmm.
John Linder's Fair Tax.
Uh-huh.
So just putting a chance to put a bug in the Vice President's ear.
I know John well. He's a great champion of the Fair Tax, and I sat down the other day with a man who has been the prime mover behind it over the years from Texas.
Yep.
It's an interesting program. It'll be a big part of the debate on tax reform the president's called for.
Thank you very, very much for your time today, Mr. Vice President. Appreciate it.
Neil. It's good to talk to you.
Good day, sir.